just before our children go to their Discovery Zone time, I'm going to read a little bit from the book of Colossians. And at this time, I'm going to invite our children to slip out to their Discovery Zone time, special time for them. And if you are certainly welcome to include your children in that. If you don't wish to, your children are more than welcome to also stay in the service. It was almost a year ago today that I preached from a passage I'm going to turn back to. We're going to come back to it for a particular reason. This was a change from the original preaching schedule, but sometimes if we're, you know what we can change, that's all right, because sometimes there's a good reason to do that. It was almost a year ago, I say, that we preached from the text. Part of the reason I'm turning to this text again is because of the issue that Jamie and I and the elders have been addressing regarding how to accommodate the most people in Grand River Community Church services. There's lots of strong opinions and thoughts that have arisen because of this discussion. And so I want, before we get into the text, and I share a little bit of my heart on the matter from the Scriptures, I want to talk a little bit about the rationale for the email that went out that about the two services, and then by God's grace, I want to share from the Word. We've been trying, our elder board, to lead GRCC through this pandemic, and one of the things we've tried to do all the way along is to follow the protocols put out by our provincial government. And part of the reason that we've done that is because we don't believe the government is there by chance. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 13 could say this: every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. So part of the reason is because we believe that those authorities are there. We don't have to agree with everything they do, and we don't have to vote for the ones that are there. But once they're there, we recognize this is part of God's sovereignty to put them there. There are times, and I don't have the time to get into that, where we do need to go against our government. There may be times we're going to have to in order to be faithful to Scripture. But the elders have not found this to be one of those times. And you may agree or disagree on that, and we're happy to talk to you about that. You know, and on this Thanksgiving Sunday, there's a number of things I'm grateful for that we've been able to meet as much as we have. You know, as much as I don't like it, in many ways, I am still grateful for Zoom. That, you know, I've been able to have conversations with people over Zoom when we haven't been able to get together. That we've been able to have meetings. My small group, Alan could nod and say, and some others here as well that are in my Friday morning small group, that for, you know, a year and a bit, we read Scripture together, we prayed together, we really supported each other, even though we weren't in the same room, and it was pretty awesome. I have to say, it was a wonderful opportunity, and of course, I'd rather be in the same room. And now we're back in the same room on Friday mornings. If you don't have a small group, you're welcome to join us, 10 o'clock, next Friday, Lord willing. I say Lord willing because I missed this last one because I wasn't feeling very well, so we didn't have it. But most of the time, we're there at 10 o'clock for an hour and a half. And if you don't have a group, you're welcome to join us. And I'm grateful that we have a large parking lot and a lot of space. So when a lot of churches weren't sure what they were going to do or how they were going to meet, we were able to gather as many people as we wanted outside, you know, and that was pretty great. And I love the beauty of the outdoors. I know not everybody liked that, and a lot of people wanted to be back inside and all those sorts of things, but I'm grateful at least that we were able to do that. Now, of course, as the weather gets colder, we recognize that it was time to kind of to move indoors. And some of you may or may not be aware that for quite some time, we've had a number of people, members and adherents of Grand River Community Church, people that have been a part of this church for years and years and years in the past that haven't been attending very infrequently because of COVID-related concerns. You know, several individuals and families have talked about coming back and were wondering when we were going to be inside. Part of the COVID protocol that our province has is that it requires that we be 2 meters physically distanced at all times. And one of the issues we have in this building, which we discovered when we were able to move back in for part of the time, is if we get much more than about 60, 65 people, we're pretty full. Especially if we're going to be able to have our children's ministry in one of the back rooms and that we're doing, using that area, it makes it a challenge. So we recognized, okay, the only way that we're going to be able to accommodate that and have enough space is if we have two services. So there was our first issue to try to address. And for that reason, we decided that we would we were going to try to have two services with the hope that we'll see these people come back. That's the hope and the desire. Then the elders became aware that we had a number of people that were concerned with the vaccination status of those who attend. Now, we were aware, too, the provincial protocols do not require those who attend worship services to be vaccinated. Our church, Grand River Community Church, is a part of the Fellowship of Evangelical Baptist Churches in Canada that's from coast to coast. We have a group of churches that make up Ontario and the English churches of Quebec that is called Feb Central. And Feb Central reached out to all of the churches to give their opinion, because some people were asking, what do we do? Do we require vaccination for people to attend church? That was a question that some churches were asking. And their response was, not saying this is our response, this was their response, was we would suggest that you encourage people to be vaccinated. Whether you agree with that or not, it's not the point of what I'm saying. That was the advice they were giving. They weren't saying we had to do that. They were saying that was their advice. However, that we don't limit people, and we don't require people to indicate whether they'd been vaccinated or not. Don't restrict anyone. And the rationale and the theology behind that: gospel should be available to all people at all times. And we believe that. And yet, we have people who are more vulnerable and others who are concerned regarding the status. And so because it appeared that we would have to have two services to accommodate everyone, we we're hoping that's still going to be that is the case, we decided that it would be a good idea to move our main service to 10:30, half hour later. It's not a big earth-shattering change. It's a half hour later. And to allow people to attend as normal, regardless of their vaccination status. And the earlier service that we would have would be provided for those who were more concerned about vaccination status. Now, I want to emphasize again, the reason was to provide the opportunity for as many people as possible to attend, not to marginalize people or discriminate against anyone because of their vaccination status. And if you feel that way, that's what this was for, you misunderstand, because that's certainly not at all what our intent was. We're trying to come up with a possible solution. Now, there's a number of passages we could consider relative to this, but I want to focus on Philippians 2 for a few minutes, as I mentioned. Philippians chapter 2. And I want to talk about initially about what we share in Christ, because that's so important. Apostle Paul says this in Philippians 2, verse 1, "Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion." And Paul gives these conditional statements, but in all of them, he's assuming the answer is yes. And I hope we can assume that today. Is there an encouragement in Christ, a mutual encouragement that comes from being in Christ, that something that we have as people in Christ Jesus that the rest of the world doesn't have is a mutual encouragement that comes from being in Christ, that there's a oneness and a peace and a joy that comes from us being in Christ? Now, that doesn't mean that we want to have struggles. These Philippian believers were dealing with some very real persecution. But there was some encouragement that Christ provides, and it's something that we share and have in common. And then he goes on to say, if there's any consolation of love, consolation of his love, of love in Christ, is the implication. And the answer to that, I hope, this morning on a Thanksgiving Sunday is a resounding yes. What a great thing it is to know that we are loved by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus could say in John 15, verse 13, "Greater love is no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends." Jesus could make that statement. Romans chapter 8, God has demonstrated his love for us in this, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. These are precious passages that I hope you cling to and rejoice in, that we have one who is a friend of sinners that was willing to die for us, and that he has demonstrated his great love for us, and that even when we were sinners, even when we were in opposed to God in every way, Christ died for us. And these passages speak about the love of Christ, and it's something we share. It's something that we know, that there is comfort and consolation in the love of Christ, and we share that as believers. Regardless of where we are in the world, if we're in Christ, this is something we share. And certainly, as one church family, this is something to be grateful for and to share. And then he goes on to say, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit. Is there fellowship of the Spirit? Yes, there is. All who are in Christ have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. This is part of the reality of what it means to be in Christ, and we should be bound together by that. And then he says, if there's any affection and compassion, this is what we're supposed to have for each other as people in Jesus. Strong, fervent affection for each other. An affection that and a compassion that it's evidence of the reality of Christ in our lives. It's what separates us from the rest of the world. Paul could say, they'll know that we are Christians or disciples by your love, one for another. Peter, in his epistle, could put it this way, in his first epistle, thinking along these very same lines, in 1 Peter chapter 1. And in verse 22 and 23 says this, "Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren," brothers and sisters, we could say, "sincerely love one another from the heart." So what we're supposed to do, sincerely love each other from the heart. Why? "For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring Word of God." What's the connection there? Well, if we have truly been born again, the natural result of that should be a fervent love towards each other. Now, Paul says, because of these common realities that are true and that we should all have in Christ, Paul now makes an appeal to these believers to unity, because they had some differences. You know, and I don't, there's probably never been a church, a local church in history, that hasn't had some differences or some disagreements. It's how we handle that or what we do with that. He says, make my joy complete, fill up my joy. Would you do that for me? Would you fill up my joy? The Apostle Paul says, fill up my joy. And how do we do that? By being united. Notice what he says in verse 2. Make my joy complete by being of the same mind. He uses the word same a couple of times. There's a couple of things he wants them to have. The same mind. And this means a unity in thought. Not a uniformity. It's not that we think the same about everything. But Paul in this epistle talks about the fellowship of the gospel, and that's what we should have in common, and that we think the same thing about that, that we have a common understanding of who is God, and who is Christ, and who is the Holy Spirit, and the understanding, a unity in our understanding of the purposes and plan of God, that we have a oneness in that. Make my joy complete by having the same mind, maintaining the same love. You have this love, now maintain it. Continue to love each other. And love one another and hold that in common. Have the same attitude of love towards each other. And then he says, one in spirit as well. Maintaining love, united in spirit, in the work of the Spirit within us, this common unity in our heart, intent on one purpose. That we have one mind, but that one mind that would move towards one purpose. That we all have the same goal of the gospel, that we're partners in the gospel. And he talks about that. Well, how does that unity work out in practice? That's what I want to think about for the next few minutes, and particularly in regards to what we've been talking about, what's come out in this letter. The practice of unity. What does it look like? The Apostle Paul says this, don't do anything from selfishness or empty conceit. And we can say, or we could say selfish ambition, the idea of doing something just for personal gain or power. Now, I know that the elders that we have at Grand River Community Church, they're friends of mine, and they're also just brothers in Christ. And I can say with absolute sincerity, and I include Jamie in that, not myself, I'll push myself to the side on that one, that there isn't one of them that doesn't care about you and doesn't want the best for you. They don't serve as elders for pats on the back. Neither do they get very many pats on the back. That's okay, though. They do it because they love and care for you. I know that. I know that. They're all busy. They've all got jobs. They've all got other lives, all things. And this is not a cry about that. That's not what I'm saying, or that it should be. I'm just saying that I'm thankful, grateful. They're not selfish, and they don't want to control things. That's not why they're in that role. They genuinely have your best interests at heart. Doesn't mean they're infallible, especially me. But it does mean that we're not trying to control or do something for what we can gain on it. That's just honest statement that of what I feel and know to be true. So what does this unity look like? It doesn't look like selfish ambition, but with humility of mind. So that's what it's not. What it doesn't look like is selfish ambition or empty conceit. But what does it look like? With humility of mind. Regard one another as more important than yourself. Humility means, in this context, it's not all about what I want or what's important to me. It isn't all about that. It is thinking about others. It's regarding others as better than yourself, that you want what is best for others. That you don't just look on your own interests, it says, but the interest of others. So let me apply that to this matter of the two services. Don't merely look out for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let me just say a couple of things. Like, when we sent out the email, one of the things that we included was, if you want to talk to any of us about this, please feel free to do that. And so some of you have, and some of you haven't, but I sense that, you know, there's some that have. There's probably some that haven't, that are not totally comfortable with the whole thing. There's some things we're certainly not experts on. So, like, Jamie, I'll just ask you right up front here, because you're my buddy and we get along well. You know, seminary, Bible school, 4 years or whatever, any courses in epidemiology? Any in virology? No. See, my dad was involved in those things, and he's not with us anymore. And he used to go down to the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, and he would have been, if he was living, he did have some hair, he'd probably have it all pulled out if he was still living trying to deal with all this. We don't know about that. And, you know, I'll say I'm willing to take any questions regarding Scripture and why we would do this in light of Scripture and all that. When it comes to, is this vaccine efficacious, is it not, what should we do, what shouldn't we do, I got to say I'm out personally, because I'm not an expert in that. I'm just not. So you can take that for whatever you want. I respect those who want to read and dig deep in that. But I don't know how Jamie feels, but I know how I feel about, I've spent over 30 years as a pastor, and I still feel like, man, I wish I had more time to figure out who God is and what He's doing. So I just don't have time. It's not important enough to me to figure out all the details of what's right and what's wrong about this area of science. I just don't know enough. So just a comment on that. Let me say this. Somebody feels uncomfortable, unsafe attending when people who are unvaccinated, if somebody feels uncomfortable with that because of their own health or the concern that they might infect other more vulnerable people, can I ask you to do this? Please don't stand against them or lose patience with them. You might not agree. You might have all kinds of logical reasons why you can say it doesn't matter, because if people wear a mask and people social distance and people do all that, you may think their logic or their rationale for saying that is wrong. Can I ask you to respect their fears and concerns and love them regardless, and allow them to come at 9 o'clock to a service here without feeling like they're purposefully causing division or doing something like that? If you've been vaccinated and some people haven't, for whatever reasons, and it could be because of they're uncertain about the efficacy of the vaccination, or they're concerned about side effects or anything like that, could I ask you to do something? Don't hold them accountable to that. Don't say, how come you haven't been vaccinated? You should go get vaccinated. Stop that rhetoric. Just stop it. Why? Because we're brothers and sisters in Christ. That's deeper. If that isn't deeper, if that isn't more important, if that's not why we're together, we don't have a church. We have a joke, I'm sorry to say. That's how I feel, if you want to know how I feel about it. We can't divide or be upset over something that small. I know of a church, I know of a precious, dear pastor of a good size, healthy, vibrant, reformed, evangelical, Baptist church, a wonderful church that split over COVID-related issues. And I'm like, are you serious? Some of you, if I mentioned the church, you'd know what church it was, and you'd probably, like, your jaw might hit the floor. I don't know. For those of you who know, some of you wouldn't know it. Like, how is that even possible? I haven't talked to the pastor about it. We're not close friends, but I do know him. And he's a precious brother, and he's in that church for more than 20 years. I think 25 maybe or more. Beautiful preacher of the gospel. Wonderful teacher. Healthy church as far as I knew. And I just heard about it, and it absolutely shocked me. How in the world could a church divide over that? Boggles my mind. Cannot understand it. I honestly can't. So let's not do that. You know what? I know there's people here that haven't been vaccinated, and I want to tell you, I love you, and I am never going to tell you to get vaccinated. And I'm never going to hold that against you. Whether I agree with it or not, and if you want to talk about that, that's another thing. But I'm going to love and cherish you as a brother or sister in Christ. That's what I believe I'm supposed to do. Some of you have been vaccinated, and I love and cherish you in that decision. You might be uncomfortable being around others, and whether I agree with that or not, and I do have opinions on all of those things, isn't the point. I'm going to love you as a brother or sister in Christ. And you need to know with a certainty that we had no intention of marginalizing anybody or making anybody feel like, oh, they're making vaccination a law, you know, in that church and dividing people. No, that was never, ever, ever our intent. More than anybody, well, no, we all long for the end of any influence of COVID. I think we all long for that. And we're not quite there yet. And God is in control of all that happens, and we have to be patient. It looks maybe in the sovereignty of God and His plan that there might be a light at the end of the tunnel. And then we won't have to worry about these things maybe soon. But in the meantime, can I encourage you, please, as Paul says, be of one mind. Can I encourage you to do this? To put aside your differences? And to work together, that those who are vaccinated allow those who are unsure about it to hold that position. And you don't have to agree, but accept, love, and support those who hold that position. And if you haven't been vaccinated, would you allow those who have to hold that position? You may not agree. But again, I want to encourage you to love and support those that hold that position as well. That's what I believe we should do in all of this. And understand, this is how your elder board feels about all of you. We're not trying to support one group over another or separate believers. That never even entered our mind. We're trying to understand the position of all people and provide a way for each person to be a part of Grand River Community Church, a place of worship where they feel safe, that they feel safe about it. And Lord willing, as I said, all of these measures we hope are really temporary. And that's our desire. We're willing to revisit some of these things and discuss them more in the future. This is a direction we've moved in, but it's not law, and we're certainly willing to talk about it more, and we intend to do that in upcoming meetings and things. And don't hesitate to contact any of the elders or myself, and we'll do our best to address it. And please, and let me say something else, that I think needs to be said. And I guess it's one of the things that troubles me in terms of reactions that I've heard on both sides of this issue. So it's not, I'm a little frustrated with everybody. Almost, well, with several people. So that's okay. Not totally ticked off, but a little frustrated with everybody. You know, I'm not surprised that out in the community people are divided over something like this. That doesn't surprise me at all. What I am surprised about is when it comes into the church. That's heartbreaking. And let me say this. There's something I'm not willing to wear as a badge, and I'll explain it. And neither do I want any of the other elders to wear this as a badge. That because we sent out that email, we created division. I don't believe that for one second, because I've heard what people have been saying about those vaccinated, those not vaccinated, and the feelings about that long before that email ever went out. We didn't create a division. It's already there. I just don't know why. Amongst believers, it would be there. And I'm being honest about that. I just don't know why. Why do we allow the attitudes of the society to come into the church? We didn't create the division. We didn't. I won't wear that is a badge, because that wasn't our intent. Our intent was to help try to provide a safe place of worship for everyone. So please don't allow vaccination status to divide you from a brother or sister for whom Christ died. We have so much to be grateful for. We have the same salvation in Jesus Christ. So let's hold that in common, and let us love each other.